Come on and give the Lord a hand praise. Hallelujah. Now, for all of you very conservative Christians who have a problem with the cheering, dancing in the church, I want you to know that David danced in till he danced out of his clothes. We kept our clothes on. I feel we were very appropriate this morning. Amen. Amen. Come on and grab your Bibles. If you have them, grab Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, verse 13 through 15. This morning, I believe God wants us to come into the kingdom like little children. So our whole service has been designed to get you to remind yourself what it's like to be a little kid who wants to praise the Lord. And I thank God for our kids on the first row who were praising the Lord. Because I'm going to tell you the truth. When I was a kid and I went to church, the kids sat in the back. Anybody ever go to church and all the kids sat in the back of the church? But our kids don't sit in the back. Look where they sit. They sit up front. And they're so well behaved and so attentive to the word of God. They go home, they ask their parents questions. Mama, what that mean? What did pastor talk about? Sometimes pastors say words she ought not to say in front of children. But God is a good God. And their parents explain them very well. That won't be the case this morning. But it's so amazing. I love watching our children worship because it reminds me of how much and the way God wants us to worship God. And it's so powerful. I'm so grateful for them. So can we give the Lord a hand praise for our children again? All right, you got Matthew chapter 19, verse 13 through 15. When you get it, would you do me a favor? Stand to your feet as is our custom out of reverence for the word of God this morning. Amen. We're going to be reading this out of the New King James Version. If you have another version, there's no worries. There are many great versions of scripture out there. But for the sake of us reading together, we're going to be reading it out of the New King James Version. But before we do that, we have a Bible affirmation that we'd like to do. Come on, how many of y'all believe this is the word of God? Amen. How many know God's about to speak to you right now through his word? All right, let's say this together. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. Amen. Matthew 19, verse 13 through 15. Let's read that together. Then little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them. For such is the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and departed from there. Father, we thank you, Heavenly Father, that your children are so important to you. We thank you, Lord, that they matter in the kingdom of God. And Lord, they matter in this house and in this church. We pray, Lord, that you will take this bread, this word, and open it up. May it be life-giving for each and every person that's here. Lord, help me to preach your word with power and conviction. Holy Spirit, you come in and have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you're seated, turn to your neighbor and say, our future depends on our kids. Oh, tell somebody else, our future depends upon our kids. Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Since we go on with all songs that are from the world and all, Whitney Houston sang a song, and her song was called The Greatest Love of All. Anybody remember that song? And her song said, "I believe the children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us just how it used to be." I think that song embodies the power of the fact that children are our future. My top topic today is our future depends on our children. I believe that in light of this scripture, Matthew chapter 18, and we think about the greatest love of all, it's a strong tone for today's message. Our future depends on our kids. These are not just the kids in our own house. I'm not talking about the kids that you birth or the kids that you take care of or the kids that have come over and hang out. I'm talking about the kids of this church are the future of this church. And a lot of times people like to take children and put them on the backside and tell them, go on over there and play some games and we'll see you later. But no, if you think about it, the future of the faith of this church is dependent upon the faith of the children. Because the way the children believe and walk with God when they get older is the way they're going to start believing and walking God. And they're going to start changing the way church operates because of how they grew up as kids. It's a powerful thing when you begin to think about how important children are. And it's so amazing that our society puts a little bit of value on kids, but not as much as we should. I mean, we don't think that they have any minds. We don't think that they have good thoughts. We don't think that they have good values. But I come to tell you, our children are brilliant. Our children are insightful. Our children have wisdom. My children are so amazing. They give me brilliant ideas all the time. It blows my mind how smart they are. Sometimes we say that when they know their ABCs, but you know, they're very smart when it comes to their relationships with Jesus too. Their faith is so pure and so whole. I mean, they just believe God just because you say believe God. You tell an adult to believe God, you say, why? I don't know why. What are we going to do? How are we going to make it? What's going to come? You tell a kid to believe God, God's about to come through. That's it. That settles us all. And Jesus tells us the problem with adults is we don't come to him like little children. We don't come to him with a belief, just a blind faith that whatever Jesus said is going to happen, is going to happen. Whatever Jesus tells us is going to go down, it is. We do not come to him like that because we have gotten too mature. And we have the ability to now reason through the fact that that's not physically possible or even able to happen. But children don't think like that. And it is for that reason that the world tells them they have no value, but it's for that reason that Jesus says they're so important in the kingdom of God. Because they just come with such a pure, blind faith. The children that we have here today will be the ones who hold the history and the memories of what we once were. But they also hold the potential, the gifts, the skills, the visions, the dreams, the worship songs, the sermons of our future. According to the Barna Group, more than half of the people who will ever accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior will do so by the age of 12 years old. By the age of 12 years old, more than half of people who become Christians got saved before they were 12. Less than 6% of all people who receive Christ as their Lord and Savior after the age of 12. In other words, beyond the age of 12, only 6% of people in the world who get saved come after the age of 12. Which tells us from 12 and under are the most crucial years we have to teach them the word of God, to instruct them in the things of God, and to help them to learn about who Jesus Christ is. We can't wait and say, okay, y'all go back in the back and we'll see y'all when y'all get older. And you can come over here and you can lead worship when you get older, and you can praise God, and you can be a greeter when you get older. You can work the AV when you get older. You can preach when you get older. I've, in the past, I had one little girl. She's about 6 years old at the time. She came and preached a sermon. And the whole church was like, wah! Because it was good. Why? Children are important. And children, you shouldn't let anybody else tell you that you don't matter, that you can't do anything. That's a lie from the enemy. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That's the reason why we bring you up. We let you dance. We let you get on stage. We want you to get comfortable worshiping God. The reason why some of us can't worship God freely is like now as an adult is because we never worshiped him freely as a kid. If you expose your kid to the supernatural when they're young, the supernatural don't become strange to them. The reason why we are looking like, ooh, they speaking in tongues, ooh, they laid hands and they healed. Oh my God, that's so crazy. I never seen that before. It's because we didn't see it as kids. But when you grow up around that as kids, you're like, oh yeah, my Grammy laid hands on somebody. I remember Pastor So-and-so laying, girl, but y'all play. You get sick. You know, the first thing they think in my church, I saw people lay hands. Come on, let me lay hands on you. But see, if you don't expose them as a child, they don't get that. So we believe in this church that these kids are so important. Back in the back, they laid hands on their teacher and prayed for her to get healed, and she got healed. We don't play around with our children. We play with our children, but we don't play around with them. You understand the difference? We have fun with them, as you saw today. And let me say this, because I know some of y'all might be still salty about the whipping Nene. Might be slightly salty about it. You know, I don't believe we need to be like the world to grab people, but we're also in the world. and our kids are hearing this music and they're seeing stuff and they're getting stuff. And the reason why the church looks so strange is because the church, they don't ever have fun in the church. You go to a club when you was a kid because the clubs look like they was a lot of fun. But what happens if the whole church have a dance party? Then when the kids go to the club, they be like, ooh, I ain't even got to get all messed up to have fun over there. I can just go back to my church and do this. So don't be looking at me crazy when I whipping nay-nay. Don't look at me crazy. Because I believe that it is a way for me to connect with our kids. It is a fun, it's very clean, there's nothing negative or nasty about it. It is a fun way to connect with children. And once you connect with them, then they'll start seeing the God in you. You can't be telling them, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Boy, we can't do that because of Jesus, 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 Jesus. They'd be like, Jesus don't never do nothing. All Jesus do is go to church and they be looking dead up in there. I ain't going over there no more. We can't do that. We have to make church fun and exciting for our children. We have to engage them in our service. That's why this whole morning of worship was about making it fun for them and for you. Y'all were smiling and dancing, doing worship like never before. You was like, oh, that's pretty cool. Wow, there's something going on up in here today. Some of y'all walked in like, wow, what blew up in this church? But church is supposed to be fun like that. And we can't do it all the time, but when we do, don't look at us strange and crazy when it happens. Because there are all different kinds of expressions of worship to God. All different kinds of, when you can pull a kid off the back row because they're doing something that they're having fun with, boy, that's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. So today what I want to do is I want us, in order to understand how important our kids are and how our future depends on our kids, I want us to look at three different views of the way children were viewed in the biblical Jewish culture. And I want to do that so that it'll help us understand the importance of our children in relationship to this church, to Rohi Christian Church today and the church of the future. The first view I want to look at is I want to look at the Old Testament view of children. I want to start off with that Old Testament view. We can look at the Old Testament scripture and see just how much children matter to God. In Psalms 128:3, the Bible says, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants. In the NIV, it says olive shoots all around your table. And the Bible in the Old Testament described children as olive tree or plants or olive shoots. And I was like, God, kids are like an olive plant? I'm really confused. So I had to do a little bit of research to understand what that meant. See, an olive tree in Hebrew literally meant a tree of oil. It meant to shine, to be bright, to be fresh, to be luxuriant. Have you ever had a new baby come in? We got new babies that come into our church, and it's just like they make you smile. You don't even know why. Something about them brings a smile on your face. They're light. They're exuberant. They're shining brightly among you. You ever look at your child and your child does something and you just get this smile on your face like, wow, that's pretty awesome. They're a light. So the Bible is comparing them to olive trees because they're saying they're a light for every person. They're a light for your family. When you watch these children dance, they brighten up the room. Something happens inside of them. This oil that they talk about was also used from the tree which produces an anointing. The tree grows very, very slowly, just like our children. Our children, you can't tell them to do something once and then they get it all together. I was talking to a mom and she was like, oh, I feel like I just nag my child so much and I gotta figure out how to be more of his friend. I said, stop. Let me ask you a question. I asked her, I said, is he doing what he's supposed to be doing? She said, well, no, that's why I have to keep telling him. I said, then you're not nagging, you're being a good parent. I said, because the problem is you don't need to be his friend to get him to do what he needs to do. You need to tell him over and over what to do so he can start doing it. Because kids, when you tell them one time, parents, let me help y'all, they don't always get it. Just like an olive tree, it takes a long time for them to start mature. It takes a very long time for your kids to actually pick up their clothes when they go to their room. You can say it over and over and over and over and over again. And some of our big kids, it takes them a long time to get a job. You tell them over and over, go get a job and get out of my house. Get a job, get out of my house. Get a job, get out of my house. Get a job, get out of my house. What you say, mama? Get a job, get out of my house. Get a job, get out of my house. Get a job, get out of my house. What you say again? Get a job and get out my house. That's all I'm going to say. You have to. Why? Because it takes a long time. And the Bible understood that children take a long time to mature. Therefore, it wasn't a bad thing. It was okay. They were patient because they understood that it took time. The other thing about olive trees is that they would grow and they would be said to be over 1,000 years old and still producing fruit. See, I don't know about you, but I want my children and the impact of my children to still be producing fruit in the world years and years, years and years after I'm gone. Years and years after they're gone. My mom, the fruit of what my mom put inside of me is still producing fruit today. Now, she's in heaven and she's gone on to be with the Lord. She's been with the Lord for 12 years. But God, what she did inside of me is still producing fruit. So our children ought to continuously be producing fruit. Now, the good part is that you get a choice whether you produce good fruit or bad fruit. And what you put in your children, the seeds you put in your children is what's going to come out of your children. So if you cuss around your kids all the time, don't be mad when they start cussing you out. You planted that seed. Oh, they didn't get that from me. Where'd they get it from? Oh, maybe it was the TV show. You let them watch it. Come on, we can't get mad at what our children is producing. I know I've just given ammo to some children. Well, Mom, I'm just doing what I saw you do. Ooh, don't say that, because you might get knocked out. Can't say that. But it's the truth. What we put in them is what we get out of them. If you put the word in your kid, you're going to get the word out. See, that olive, go ahead and put that picture up. That olive, what's interesting about olive, which is the fruit from the olive tree, is there's an oil on the inside. It's made up of about, the skin is made up of about 70% oil. So the oil is in the skin. It's not on like the inside. And the only way you can get the oil out is to press it. So when you press the olive, you get out of it what's on the inside. When you put a word in your kid and difficult times come, it's like a pressure on them. And you'll begin to see what's in your kid during tough times by what comes out of your kid during tough times. So if you've put the word in them and you keep teaching them the word and you keep showing them how to pray and you keep doing that inside of your kid, when all stuff happens at school and people talking about them and they're going to come out, the word of God's going to come out. And the word of God is just going to say, I'm going to love you anyway. I'm going to love you because God loves you. The word is going to come out, but we have to be careful about what we put in. Now, I want to say this is not just for parents. Church, that's for the church. What we put and teach in the children of this church is what's going to come out during tough times in the children of this church. What we teach in the back is what's going to come out. See, we cannot just think that teaching in the back is just for somebody else to go do, because you don't even know what's being put in those kids back there. Everybody is a part of putting something in the church. I can remember being in the church, and even though they never said a word to me, we used to have what we call the motherboard. See, none of y'all come from the South or from the old Baptist church. But in the old Baptist church, we used to have the front row right about in the middle will be full of women all dressed in white. I don't know why they wore white, and they wore big hats. And they were called the mother board. I said, are they a board of mothers or do they mother over somebody? I don't understand what the point is. Still to this day, don't know why they call it a mother board. But they would just sit there, and just their presence got me. They were so whole. They didn't cuss. Not. I mean, maybe in your church, my motherboard church, people didn't cuss. They always worshiped. Whenever the songs came on, it was the first one to stand up. And I never will forget, there was a lady. Every time the chord would hit the right way, she started running in the church. Me and my brother say, did she just catch the Holy Ghost? As if he's a disease. So funny. But those people impacted me. I want to say this. I was going to save this for later, but there is no way I'd be standing on this stage preaching a message if it wasn't for people in my churches who taught me the word, who prayed over me, who kept me. I know 16 years old, I went back to church because my mother had stopped going. And when I got a license, I said, I'm going back, because I remember being in church as a kid and I loved it. And I drove myself to church. My mother came back to church because I was going to church. And when I went to church, I said, I got to find a Sunday school class. See, we don't have Sunday school no more. But Sunday school class was where you would go before church and then you sit in church with your family. Some of y'all, see, I'm saying this because our kids don't know nothing about this kind of lifestyle. But if they don't hear this, they won't be able to talk to people and tell them about, hey, remember church used to have a Sunday school. We used to have Sunday school here too, but we stopped. Because we said we wanted our kids to be fully immersed where they can have an engaging experience every Sunday and every Wednesday. First Sundays, we wanted them to come together so they could understand. When they transitioned over here, we didn't want them to be freaked out. Dang, this is what they do. They don't eat snacks. I'm going to use Carla as an example. We couldn't get Carla out of children's church. Carla was like 8 in the 8th grade. We was like, Carla, you can't keep going to children's church. She said, I don't want to go to them bigger classes. I don't want to go back to church. I want to go back to children's church. We had to find a position to keep Carla in children's church because she was like, I'm sorry. Children's church is just too much fun. I ain't going over there. I think about freshman year, you finally came. Was it last year you finally got out? Yeah, about last year she finally got out of, just joking with you. But she graduated from eighth grade, and I think we finally said, enough. You can't be in there with first graders no more. But I remember when I was in Sunday school, I remember my Sunday school teacher, Mr. Bobo. And Mr. Bobo had such a profound impact on my life in more ways than one, not just spiritual. He was an engineer. He was one of the reasons why I decided I wanted to be an engineer. But he was also a powerful man of God. He's since gone on. He now teaches theology at University of Kansas. But what a powerful illustration for me. We've kept in touch through Facebook. He would email, or not email, but he would send me cards and letters when I was in college to encourage me. And I wasn't his child. But I was a kid in the church. And because of that, I mattered to him. And see, church, it don't matter if the person sitting next to you or the little child next to you is your child or not. They're a kid in this church. And because of that, they ought to matter to you. They ought to be important to you. These children are the future. See, the other reason why in the Old Testament they were so excited about children was because they knew that the children were going to take care of them in the future. You better treat your kids right, because if you don't, they're going to be done with you when you get old. My son, my older son, likes to fool around with me. He said, all right, Mama, I'm going to put you in a home now. Put you in a home. Boy. I just laugh about it. But it's true. And we think about it from a personal perspective as a parent. But let's think about this church for just a minute. Can we just dream for 20 years from now? 20 years from now, we're going to be a lot older. We're maybe not going to be able to jump around like we used to. We're maybe not even going to be able to have the energy that we used to have. But our kids will now be 30. 20 years from now, these kids will be 30. And the question is, what are they going to be like? How is the church going to be handled 20 years from now? Because these are the guys that are probably going to be in it to run it. See, when you start thinking about that, just like the Old Testament view of children, you start going, dang. We better take care of these people. Because if this church chooses to stand or not stand is going to be on the backs of these children. If we continue to be a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Spirit-filled church that seeks the lost, that is about discipleship, is dependent on these children. If we don't teach them about the Bible and the importance of the Word and how not to get away from it, if we don't teach them about being Spirit-led and how to move in the Spirit, if we don't teach them these things, then we're going to have a watered-down church in the future. Because unfortunately, I'm not going to be here forever. And neither are some of you. But they're going to be here possibly a lot longer than we are. Psalms 127:3 says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. Do you not know that children were crucial to the continuation of God's covenant? Think about the covenant with Abraham. The first covenant with Abraham was about what? Children. The covenant was about, I'm going to make you into a great nation. Your descendants are going to be great. The whole covenant was about kids. The covenant was so important that at 8 days old, they would indoctrinate a male child into the covenant with circumcision. And you know why that was so important? Because God was saying that child matters and I'm in covenant. I'm in relationship with them even now. God was very serious about children in the Old Testament. And we a lot of times don't understand that. They were very, very important. Children in the Old Testament were supposed to be cared for and taught what was right. Deuteronomy 6:6-7 says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And shall," they're talking about the word of God, "and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up." See, the future of the Israelites was dependent upon the children knowing the commandments. In the Old Testament, when Nehemiah pulled out the scroll and got ready to read it, it wasn't a room full of adults that heard it. It was a room full of adults with children who also heard the word. We have to be teaching the word, telling our story to these children, telling them what God brought us through. Many of these children don't know we used to meet in a school. They don't know portable church. They don't know church in a box. They don't know what it was like to be one of the little boys in the church and have to carry chairs after service. Poor little boys back then. Who was the little boy that might have had to do that? Casey was, he's gone. Now he left to move to Oregon, but Casey always had to carry chairs. His daddy would say, "Boy, pick up a chair. What you doing?" Kids would be playing, go get a chair. Go. Because you saw men working, and therefore little boys were taught how to work in our church because they saw men do it. But now we just show up and walk into church. We got little boys now. We see people carrying stuff out. They just run right by them. I tell my kids, go get up and go help them. Why? Because I said so. Because there's a value that is taught. And that's just, how long has that been? 2.5, 3 years ago that we moved? See how quickly? But if we don't talk to them about the way things used to be. See, our children don't know anything about not having musicians. It wasn't until 6 years ago that we got a keyboardist. We were here for 9 years without a keyboardist, without a musician consistently. And Pastor Nancy came along. We praised the Lord for that. And she didn't just come. She came with all her gifts and her skills. But some of y'all weren't here, but I used to stand and lead worship with a little machine that was, we used to play MIDI files. And I used to push the button and I would try to loop it and it would scratch and it'd be all messed up. It wouldn't scratch, but it'd be all messed up and then people would look all funny and I'd be like, "Ooh, turn it off. Just sing a cappella, people." Children don't know. That's where God brought us from. So when they start doing church and they're saying, "Well, I don't know how we're going to make it. I don't know where we're going to get the money from." They can start thinking about a church who had not a dime in the bank when this building came up. And yet God brought and raised over $60,000 through people's donation so we can make renovations and we can move into this house. So that when they start looking at their next building, they're not going to be saying we can't. They're going to say, "You remember when the people in our church worked? You remember when the people in our church gave? If God did it for them, he's going to do it for us too." You got to teach them and talk to them and tell them. And sometimes their parents don't know because their parents weren't here. That's why I'm trying to tell y'all. It is everybody's effort to encourage, talk to, and teach the children about what God brought us through and about his word. Now, you can't hit everybody's child. I said that out loud. Sounded better in my head, but I'm going to say it again. You can't hit everybody's child, but you are responsible in this church for the children's behavior. So listen to me. If you see a child in this church misbehaving, you don't have a right to hit them, but you have a right to correct them. Hey, we don't do that. No. Stop that. We don't do that. And parents, don't you get an attitude when somebody tell your child they doing wrong because they was doing wrong? Parents, what you ought to do is say, "Thank you, because I ain't even see. I was over there doing working, and I ain't even know. I don't want my kid to be the crazy one." It's always that one, and you know, I always be like, "Wow, watch this, my kid." You ever do that? Bet you that's mine. Many times it isn't, praise the Lord. But you understand what I'm saying? That's our responsibility. It's our role. So, okay, that was funny, but here we go. some of you say, why do we expose our kids like we do? Why would we get them in the Word? Here's a little illustration. How many of you remember what you ate for lunch on Wednesday last week? I have absolutely no idea. Possibly if you write it down, you're really good. But most of us don't remember what we ate for lunch last week. But you know what? We still got nourished from what we ate. Our kids may not remember a scripture, a sound, a note that came out of any service or out of any children's class, but they still got nourished spiritually from what they got back in those classes and what they're getting here. So it doesn't matter if you think they're getting it or not, their spirit heard it. Come on, so you're not getting it. And their spirit is still getting nourished by it. And there's, even though they can't regurgitate it, they can't say what happened. They can't, because I ask my kids all the time, what happened in church? I don't know. Was it good? Yep, it's fun. What'd you do? Get so annoying, right? But you know why I keep them going? Because they get something inside. And something is working on the inside. So that's the Old Testament view of how people saw children. Let's look at the New Testament view. The New Testament view can really be wrapped up in Jesus' view. Jesus probably had a very unique view of children because at the age of 12, he was found in the church asking questions and teaching. Jesus remembered what it was like to be 12 years old in church. Remember I told you the crucial age was 12? Jesus, when they had a festival, his parents kept taking him to church for every festival. And, they got so enthralled in the festival, they decided to go back home. And they was 3 days on their journey before they even realized Jesus was nowhere to be found. I was like, how you go 3 days and don't know where your kid is? And then I thought about it. They left Jesus at church. You know, that was just deep. When I thought about it, what I realized was that the community used to take care of the children at the time. So it wasn't strange if you didn't see your child for 3 days because they were probably with Aunt so-and-so or Cousin so-and-so or Sister this or Sister that. It was just very normal. And when they finally started looking, I said, we ain't seen Jesus in 3 days. Let's go find him. Where is he? They found him in the church teaching and asking questions at 12 years old. And people were amazed at the authority that he had. So Jesus remembered at 12 years old the power that a 12-year-old kid had. And the Bible says that he says, I don't know why you so freaked out because I must be about my father's business. How many of y'all kids remember that scripture? I must be about my father's business. We did an entire year teaching them that at 12 years old, you can be about God's business. Stop waiting till you 20 to be about God's business. Be about it now. It's important. Remember, my son turned 12 and he was just like, freaking out. I was like, why? He was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do in my life. I'm supposed to be about my father's business and I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Because he spent a whole year hearing about that at 12. You're supposed to be about your father's business. You know what? He at 12 was asking a question some of us have never asked before. What's my father's business? Our job is to make sure that these kids grow up. That's why I grabbed this little girl at 12 years old and said, come on, your father's business is about worship. For you, this is the Father's business. Who is speaking into the lives of these children? Jesus said that they're so important because he remembered being that young. And so he even used them in illustrations. The Bible says that Jesus was using them in illustrations when they would talk about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Jesus would bring a little child and say, look, be like this kid. The greatest is going to be like this kid. That's how much he valued children. He understood kids. As I said earlier, according to the Barna Group, more than half of the people who will ever accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior do so by the age of 12. But did you also know that by the time a child is 9 years old, their basic moral foundation has already been formed? Their moral foundation is formed by 9 years old. By the age of 13, a person has irrevocably formed the majority of their beliefs about the nature of God, about the existence of God, about the reliability of the Bible, about what the afterlife really is, about the holiness of Jesus Christ. They formed by the age of 13 their beliefs about whether one can be saved from sin or not and the importance of the Holy Spirit in their lives. You see, in essence, what you believe by the age of 13 is most likely what you will be believing for the rest of your life. So no, Jesus was not unusual when he valued children. But as he talked with children, he understood how much of what they were going to believe was shaped by what they believed at age 12 and 13. Now, Barna also says that there is a 10-year window of opportunity between the ages of 4 and 14 that a person is most open to the gospel of Jesus Christ. 10 years is about all you got to make an impact on the rest of these kids' life and the future of this church. So Jesus knows this. And in our focal passage today, parents got it. They kept bringing their kids to Jesus. And they kept bringing them so that he would bless them. It's pretty interesting. You can't find in very many places in Scripture where Jesus started praying for other people. Except he prayed for the disciples on the night before he died. But like when they got sick, he just spoke to them and cast them out. But this is one of the few instances where he brought people, children, and he would pray for them. And I said, Lord, what is he laying hands on them praying about? And I believe that he was speaking a blessing over their life, about their future, about how they were going to walk with him and be faithful to him and how they were going to serve him. My understanding is while I was gone, the church prayed for, Pastor B led our church in praying for blessings over our children. Is that correct? So there's no need for me to do that, but we want to continue that on a daily basis, doing that with our children. But I wanted to share with you that that was just one side of the equation. The other side was the disciples' response. See, this is the third view in the Bible. The third view was the disciples' view. You know what they said? They said, stop! Stop bringing them kids to Jesus. He got a whole lot of other stuff to do. Don't you know he been up there? He been casting out demons, healing the sick, raising the dead. He ain't got time to be praying for your kids. Get your own kids and go pray for them. They stopped. There is a view of people, even in this house, who say, stop bringing kids to Jesus. I don't have time. No, we don't have time to deal with that. We got more important stuff to do. We don't have time to be back there with those kids. I'm too busy. They're acting just like the disciples. You know how I know that they exist in this church? Not because I want to be mean or anything, but I'm going to tell you this. Because we struggle to find people to serve in our children's department. As important as our kids are, we struggle to find people to volunteer. And I said, maybe we don't know how important they are. So I'm going to teach the message so maybe we'll remember. But we don't have enough infant and toddler volunteers. It's so few that we probably have a volunteer for like one Sunday out of all the months. Is that about right? For each class. Nikki? So we only have really one, and they had to combine the classes just so they can get two Sundays together. And let me tell you something about infants. You know, I'm going to be real honest with you. I don't like changing no diapers either. I'm going to be honest with you. But one thing that I understand about babies is that if you grab a baby, you have the ability to do what Jesus did and just begin to speak life over. Tell them, oh, I'm so proud of you. You're going to grow up to love Jesus one day. I don't know what people are speaking over that baby. I don't know what curses they're saying, but I know that I'm going to speak life over that baby. And I grab children. Every time I grab them, their parents don't even know. I start rubbing their hands. I just say, God loves you so much. You're going to be so amazing. There's a kid who comes around occasionally that I see, and I saw him when they were like really, really small, maybe 2-3 months old, and I did this, and then I hadn't seen them again until they were, you know, maybe about 6 or 7 months old. And that kid just gravitated to me. And I was like, you ain't seen me. Then I like hadn't seen him again until the kid was like a year old. Kid just gravitated to me. Then I hadn't seen him again until he was 18. And then it was like 18 months. This kid was just running for me. And I'm like, why does this kid, like, he don't even see me all the time. And you know what it is? It's because I believe we're speaking the word over that kid. I was telling that kid how he's going to be powerful in the kingdom of God. I was telling that kid he's going to do mighty things for God. I was telling that kid, you are powerful, you're anointed, you're loved, you matter to God. All while he was in my arms as a baby. What are we praying over the babies in our church? Nothing, because nobody's back there with them. We need your help. If you really think these kids matter, we need your help. You might say, diapers ain't my thing, but you know what? Jesus said, or the Bible says, you got to find some people who will stand in the gap. Diapers ain't my thing, but if it means that this child can have a place where they can grow in their walk with God, I'm going to have to deal with some poop. I always tell you, ministry is messy. Toddlers are so impressionable with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, they just grab onto the word like nothing. We can't get enough teachers to go back with toddlers. That's the fun age. That's the age where you get to tell them all the stories, and they just be like, uh-huh, yep, uh-huh, 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 yep. And they go back and they tell their parents, ooh, look at what I learned today. I mean, it is a great age. We have one toddler teacher. One. Church, we got to value these kids. Now, everybody seems to like high school and junior high. And I think, do we have enough teachers for that group? We have enough for high school. You know why people like high school and junior high? Because they can go to the bathroom by themselves. They make sense. You can understand their words. You can ask them to read and they can actually read. Because I'm telling you, listening to a toddler read, sometimes I'd be like, get there, get there, get there, get there, get there. It's hard, right? Junior high and high school is easier. So, you know, we don't need a lot of help in the classroom for junior high and high school, but where we need help with junior high and high school is this. Guess what? On those Friday nights we have fun nights, what happens most of the times is parents just say, here you go, see you later, bye. I've been with them all week. Your turn. We don't have enough people volunteering with our kids back there. The fun nights are just that, fun nights. Those are the nights you want to come. It's so much to do, huh, Helena? Helena's always here at fun night. It's so much to do. Those kids will have you on the floor rolling. They are a joy. And you might say, I don't even know. I don't like kids. You don't have to like them to love them. I'm preaching. You ain't got to say amen. Our elementary classes, how we doing there, Jen? See, our elementary classes, we need helpers. Now, most of y'all, they give you headaches at elementary school. But elementary is fun because this is where they start questioning about who God is. And when you answer, they start to make you think about why you believe what you believe. And some people don't like that. I love it because it helps me to better formulate my faith. You know, I formulate my faith better by listening to little kids say, why? 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 Because I said so. Then I go back. I'll be like, yeah, Jesus, why? How do we really know Jesus got out of the grave, Pastor Shana? Because they told me when I was a little kid. Then I go back and I say, oh, there's all this historical data. There's all this that shows this. There's all these evidence. And the kids go, oh, hey, that's pretty cool. But see, until they start asking you that question, you don't ask. It's a powerful age, and we need your help. And you might say, you know, Pastor, I don't want to take away from my time in church. I mean, really? They have church back there, too. But you get more of what you got this morning back there. Come on, sometimes I hear about the teachers coming back. They're like, oh, my God, I learned so much in children's church today. It's amazing. You get so much out of it. And maybe you're not ready to teach, but you can definitely help a teacher. You can be in the classroom and you can just kind of be there and say, hey, whatever you need. You need me to pass out the crayons. You need me to go take, you know, I'll walk a kid to the bathroom. That's cool. I can do that. You know, whatever it is, we need you. But listen, if the children are our future and our future depends on the children in this church, if we were to gauge what our future would look like by the emphasis we put on our children, we'd be in trouble. No more. We can't do that anymore. We have to put our children and make them a priority. During worship services, every first Sunday of the month, they're here. Worship should be engaging for kids too, because they matter and they're important. Everything we do, we need to let them know their value, because you know what? The world is telling them they don't matter. The world's telling them that they're not special, that they don't have any gifts, that they're not cool. The world's telling them when you walk with Jesus, you're not cool. But you know what? I beg to differ. I walked with Jesus, and I was one of the cool kids. Just saying. I went to a Catholic school, so that might have a little something to do with it. But, but either way, that's what we're called to do. So what do I want you to do with this message? If you have kids, keep being a good parent. Great. Yay. But that ain't what I want you to do. What I want us to do in this church is put a value on these kids, not just with our lips, but with our time. With our time. I know many people in this church are already volunteering, and I know that you feel like, I don't know when I'm going to have the time. I don't know when I'm going to make it. But here's the catch. If we get enough people to volunteer, watch what happens. You only got to do it like once every 2 months. Genius. I don't want to miss service. Podcast, boo, podcast. I mean, it's real. It's not that hard. And let me tell you, when you begin to give to God like this, God's going to start pouring back in your life exceedingly and abundantly above all you could ask, think, or imagine. Maybe your breakthrough has been so tied up into asking God for stuff that God is like, well, when you start giving back to me, then I really can release a breakthrough. Maybe when you start giving of your time to help these kids, God really can begin to release something in your life. We need your help. So everybody stand to your feet. Go ahead, Jen and Nikki, go and get to your spots. Do you have anybody else helping you? Whoever's helping you, get over there. Oh, she got more stuff. Oh, she said if you don't want to miss service, you can help by serving at the front desk in the educational wing on Sunday mornings. And for the first 30 minutes, you can go back there and help and serve that way. What else am I missing? The other thing is our youth fun nights, let me tell you something. We almost stopped doing them. How many kids like fun nights, those fun nights that we have? Yeah, they got their hands up. Guess what? We almost stopped doing them because we didn't have enough volunteers to help us. I asked the church, I asked our leadership team, I said, can we get one more year with these fun nights? And I guarantee you we'll start getting some volunteers. Don't give up on them yet, because it was very taxing on the two or three people who were doing all the shopping for the food and all the preparations and, you know, not even knowing who was going to come, if they were going to be there by themselves with 50 kids. We never have a problem with getting enough kids for fun night. Never. Our problem is getting enough adults to help. The reason why we stopped doing lock-ins and overnighters was because we didn't have enough adults to help. Because no adult wants to stay up all night. But when you was little, you stayed up all night. So I asked them, I said, give me one more year. Let's try this lock-in thing one more time. The kids love lock-ins and retreats. Oh, my gosh. They think they're the best thing ever. And we use them as outreach events. And they bring their friends. My kids have already started inviting their friends. And their friends are like, yeah, what's that thing we doing again? They don't even know what it's called. What did I tell you? They formulate their moral values by 9, and they make decisions mostly by 12. So we want to get them to get all their friends in here as much as possible so their friends can be exposed to Jesus too. They're witnessing when we're not. But we can't get nobody to stand there and be there and support them. So what we have over here is I'm going to need, and this is about to be old school church. Can we do old school for a minute? Old school church. My husband was a pastor. He would do this. Somebody stand at the door. We don't want you to leave until you at least walk by the tables. He used to say, we ain't going to leave until you sign up or until I meet my goal of getting this or that. I ain't going to do that to you. But I don't want you to leave until you at least walk by the table and consider volunteering in some effort. You don't have to do every fun night, but you might say, I can do one. You don't have to teach every week, but maybe you'll be willing to be a helper once every 2 months. Maybe you'll say, hey, I can commit to once every 2 months. Or maybe you'll say, I'll commit to once a month for the next 6 months. And then after that, I'll reveal. I don't care what it is, but something in your heart ought to be sparked to say, these kids matter, and I've got to do my part to help. I can't depend on somebody else to do this. This is your responsibility, too. How many of y'all feel like, oh, man, you got me today, Pastor? Huey Nelly, you stuck a pin in me. I'm going to pray for you. We're going to close out. I want these kids, come on up front. Come up front. I'm about to probably do something that's real wrong. Turn the other way. Put your saddest face on. Your saddest face. How can you say no to this? Oh, look at this one right here. Oh, and K-Bub Chef. Oh, where do I sign? Where do I sign? Let me pray for you. I want you to look at them while I pray. I pray, Lord, over every person that's here. Father, may we be moved in our spirit to remember that they are the reasons why we serve. That, Lord, you love us so much, you blessed us, and that they're the future of this church. Father, speak to our hearts. Lord, we'll sign up in any place that we're interested, and then we'll let you keep working in our hearts to show us how to be more involved. Lord, we believe that you're the God who can give us the strength to work through our schedules, to work through our time, to work through our energy issues. Lord, you're able to help us do that. You can show us how to do that. So, Lord, speak to us now. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face not look like this upon you, but shine on you. I encourage you, please at least walk by the tables before you leave. God bless you. Have a great day. When people ask how you're doing, may your response be, I dismiss you in the Lord. Thanks to all my helpers. Great job, guys.
You have been listening to Pastor Shayna Hurd, Senior Pastor of Rohi Christian Church, a multi-ethnic, economically diverse, Spirit-led congregation located in San Jose, California. For audio teaching downloads by Pastor Shayna, service times and directions, or to become a Rohi partner, go to www.rohichurch.org or write to Rohi Christian Church, 474 Piercy Road, San Jose, California, 95138.